please don't push me. Please don't push me, but y'all push B. Now we got dwellers from Cali to Flatbush B. Now they got heat on their feet that say press B. And now we so deep in the streets, y'all can't stress me. Can't curse me, then bless me. I'm crucifying my flesh, that's less me. SAT'd from preaching, can't test me. Atheists are now believing, that bless me. Yeah, we got the basement replacing any of those worldly pursuits that y'all chasing. Any of those trials and tests that y'all facing. Any of the relationships that y'all changing. We rearranging, making the shame shift. Giving Satan back what's his, that's the blame shift. Rise up and walk commands, that's the lame shift. Cheat codes for living this life, that's the game shift. All on Yeshua, man, the rest is manure, man. I'm dying daily, so I rise up a purer man. Pressing B daily, so my sins looking fewer, man. Washing the blood, so my sins down the sewer, man. Yeah, so press B with me, and let's let whatever gon' be just be. Yeah, so press B with me, and let's let whatever gon' be just be. Welcome to the basement, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Tim Ross. I love you guys so much, and I'm so grateful that you wanted to rock with us right now. I want to shout out to all of my B-siders, everyone that has pressed B, that has literally pressed B on that B-side app, downloaded the app, and decided to become a part of our community in this way. I just want to say thank you. I love you guys so much. And I appreciate you. If you have not yet downloaded the app, you might as well do it now. And if you have downloaded the app, but you haven't signed up, maybe you're still hesitant. Is it even worth the $10 a month? Is it worth $120 a year? The answers are yes and yes. And you'll be the first to get exclusive content. You're the first to get sneak previews. You get all of our bonus content.
Ad-free.
Everything is ad-free, and obviously, when new shows pop up, you will be the first to know. Super excited about our Discord community, and thank everyone that is up in there. Like y'all in there, like building homes. Like I look in the Discord community, y'all are like building neighborhoods. Like there's neighborhood after neighborhood after neighborhood being built in the Discord, which is amazing. So
Huh? It's a home. There's no squatting.
Sweet home. Home, sweet home. What I do love is that we have an authentic community. It's not, we don't have fans and followers. We have common unity. That's what community means. There's a common unity amongst all of us that have pressed B, come down to the basement, and decided to dwell together so that we could grow. Again, basement is this great space that God gave us. B-side is this great place that God gave us so that we could share and give the gift of our vulnerability. As you can tell, or maybe you don't know this yet, whether you are watching or listening.
That's whether a great word.
Yeah, it's a great word. It doesn't exist. Whether you are watching or listening, you are in on a solo dolo episode.
Classic.
Classic solo dolo episode. No guests today. Just me and my producers hanging out, straight chilling, ready to answer questions, ready to really get into whatever we want to get into. That's what I love about a solo dolo epi. And so the first thing I want to say is that what's unique about today is we are taping this on the heels of my process group therapy. So once a month, I am in process group therapy for 8 hours. And when you come back from that, your mind is just, you know, you're a little emotionally fatigued, but you are also delightfully opened up. Not just to whatever you're trying to sort through, but the other group of people that have decided to go on this journey for 1 year with you. So it was good today. And
basically what I decided to tap into and to really drill down on is the absence of my father, what that's done to my life, what it is doing to my life, how absent that feeling really is, and how I'm trying to navigate it, and how I'm showing up to spaces and places with this realization that there are no more phone calls to my dad, there are no more updates from my dad, there is no more feedback from my dad, there is no more encouragement from my dad, there is no more perspective that I'm going to be getting from my dad. It's a different life, y'all. It's a different life. And so I was able to process that today. And something that I will continue to bring, I told them today, that is something that I will continue to bring to my group therapy. I might bring it all year. Who knows? I might bring it one more session. I might bring it five more sessions. You know, some people grieve and they give themselves a time limit. And they're like, oh, that's enough of that. I've moved it on. I don't want to talk about that anymore. I'm not doing that. Not with somebody as pivotal and vital as my father was. That's not something I'm ready to just glide by. And so bringing him up is good for me. Some people grieve and they can't even bring up the loved one that they lost. I'm quite different. I'm going to keep bringing up Charles Edward Ross, because that dude helped me tremendously become the man that I am. And one of the things I was rehearsing today is that my hands are just like my daddy. So every time I look at my hands, I'm reminded of my dad. Every time I look at my face, I'm reminded of my dad. There are certain ways that I say certain things. His voice is in my voice. This dude is all around me. It is just, I can't escape him in the best of ways. I'm not running from him. But if I tried, ain't too far I can go. When you sound like the man, look like the man, got your whole, from the neck down on my daddy. Like my whole body looks like my dad's body. So it's just something I'm gonna have to get used to. And what I hope happened in this last month or so, going on the book tour, talking about it, processing it with y'all, whether it was on the pod or on Instagram Live, what I hope I'm helping other people do is learn how to grieve well. Right, learn how to do it in a healthy way, and it's not something that you have to run from. It's not something that needs to be fixed right away. That you can sit in your grief, you can sit in the sadness, you can sit in the loneliness, in the absence, and you don't have to have the right words, you don't have to have the right verse, you don't have to have the right passage of scripture, you don't have to have the right feeling. You can just embrace the sadness of it, and everything doesn't need to be fixed. Everything doesn't need to be a quick pivot to happiness. We don't need to always have the anecdotal statement that makes us feel better so we can move on with our life. Nah, some of the stuff you just need to sit in. Some of the stuff you just need to let marinate. Some of the stuff you just need to just let it be what it is, right? Never has the phrase, it is what it is, resonated so much as what it resonates with now. My daddy's dead. It is what it is. We're not going to make it something that it's not. It is what it is. It is a monumental loss in my life. And he has given me enough for the rest of my life. And both things are true. So, I think that's how I'm starting.
Whenever you go through your process group therapy, when you're done, mm-hmm. you said you're emotionally fatigued, but do you feel like happy afterward, or you're like, today necessarily, how are you feeling? Like, if feel sad because you have me in process group right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's, dude, sometimes I walk away feeling super enlightened.
Yeah.
And some days I'm like, they just opened up a can of worms and I got to go home now.
That's right.
Like, damn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. so there's that emotional fatigue. My brain, the way I describe it is my brain feels like oatmeal. Excuse me. My brain feels like oatmeal. It just feels squishy. Because emotionally, you got to think about it. You're not just holding space for you. You're holding space for 9 other people. So it's not like after in one-on-one therapy, you talk about all the stuff that you're going through and you get up and walk away.
You're receiving and giving.
That's
in
right.
This group.
That's exactly right.
You're not
right.
Just there to receive.
No, you're not just there to receive. And this is what makes process group therapy so dynamic is you actually heal faster
mm-hmm.
in community mm-hmm. than you will ever do alone. And so if the only thing you can do is start with one-on-one therapy, it's bomb. But when you get to group, it's you cannot be selfish enough to think about you. Mm-hmm. Like I could talk about my daddy's death and be crying, and the next person could have won the lottery,
right,
for $1.3 billion, and you rejoice with those that rejoice, and you weep with those that weep, and sometimes you're doing that from one check-in to another. Mm-hmm. Like I could have just poured my heart out about the I miss my dad so much and I wish he was here. And the next person could have been like, you know what? I've been praying for a breakthrough in my business and I just closed on a client that's going to bring us an additional $15 million a year. And you're like, bro, that's amazing. Like I'm wiping my tears like, bro, that's amazing. That's going to be awesome. And so it's not like, yeah, you happy. But what about my pain? No, it's like, hey, man, your pain is your pain, but he deserves to celebrate that he closed this deal. He's been working his butt off for that. You know what I'm saying? And it don't take away him celebrating. Don't take away from my sadness.
No,
but my sadness shouldn't take away from his celebration. Yeah. And that's where you learn to hold that tension. And, you know, I really thought about this, but I really do feel like, the people that don't hold tension well are usually people that are pretty bitter, or they're really prejudiced, or they're really judgmental because they've never had to sit beside somebody that thinks differently from them, that's going through something different than they're going through, that's experiencing something different than they're experiencing. And so the world is very, very small for them.
Short-sighted.
Very short-sighted. You get in a church where when you walk in, you just feel like, oh, something's off. Mm-hmm. And then you hear the preacher and then you see the people and you realize there's no diversity here. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not talking about skin color. Mm-mm. There's no diversity in thought. Nobody else is... There's nobody ever in the history of their little us four and no more that has been like, yo, why do we do that? Just I don't even like that we do that.
Zero questioning.
Zero questioning. No pushback. Nobody feels differently about anything.
You ever preach at a church like that?
Yeah, I have.
What was it like?
It was like biting into a lemon.
Ooh.
Your jaws just clench. Because you need cross-pollinization for something to be sweet.
Mm.
Remove all the bees. See what happens to your fruit.
Mm.
You ain't gonna want it no more.
Right.
That cross-pollinization is important. And without it, people just get real bitter and real sour.
Mm.
The reason why I don't have a sour disposition is I sit around the table from too many people that are just different from me.
Right.
They just going through different stuff.
Yep.
They wasn't raised in the hood. Some of my friends are trust fund babies. That's not a slant against them.
Not at all.
their reality is just different. They've always had money. Always will. And so when you can sit around the table and be like, hey, man, I love you, and you'll never know what it is to be in the hood. You love me, and I'll never know what it is to go skiing on a mountain that I own. Like you don't understand what I'm saying. Like you know what I mean? I'm not talking about like, hey, let's go skiing.
No, they own the mountain.
Own the mountain. One of my dudes a few years ago was in my group therapy. Homie owned 1,200 acres of land.
What? I don't even know how to feel.
What do you do with that?
I have three acres. He has 1,197 more acres than I'll ever have. I don't know what that feels like. His family's wealthy. Wealthy. He came into it. That's all he knows. Yeah. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking country boy. Belt buckle the size of a dinner plate. Mm-hmm. Huh? And that's my homie. Yeah. You better not ever say nothing about dude.
Yeah.
He loves Jesus. Right? We don't worship the same. We would never go to the same type of church. We'd visit each other's churches, though,
and
have ourselves a ball for a weekend or two. Well, we ain't going to switch up. And you know what I mean? I'm not going to wear no Wranglers. He not about to wear no sweatsuit and rock some 97 Air Maxes. Uh-huh. I'm not wearing no boots. I never wear no ostrich skin boots. It's like, you know what I'm saying? But like, if that ain't in your, if that's not, if you don't have that level of cross-pollinization, then you just think everybody but you and your crew, you just think everybody's weird.
Yeah.
And when the truth of the matter is, you're weird. You're the weird one. Mm-hmm. So I'm I've just been thinking about the fact that there's a lot of people out here that I listen to them talk and I'm like, oh, you ain't been around nobody.
Yeah. They're a little weird.
Not even a little. They're a lot weird.
They're weird.
Like it's like, oh, you ain't been around nobody. But you and people like you. How you're not growing. You're not growing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I love my group therapy. That's my family. That's my family. They're good people.
Yeah, you're not in an aquarium. You are in the ocean, swimming around. That's what Travis said yesterday.
It was fantastic.
The aquarium analogy.
I love that he said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not in an aquarium. We in the ocean. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We in that Finding Nemo ocean. You gonna run across everybody. You about to run across a shark, freaking squid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Octopus. Uh-huh. Everybody down here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Turtles. So it's a I just hope everybody, if you're going to grow, this is one of the things that one of my takeaways, my big aha moments from being in a group therapy today, in the didactic that we went through. What my life coach Nancy said was, there's a certain part of your brain, I can't remember what it was called, but there's a certain part of your brain that actually needs discomfort to be able to grow.
Wow.
Your brain needs to be in an uncomfortable environment and then it will grow. So athletes have that part of their brain stays wide open. Because they're constantly in a they constantly have an opponent. They constantly have a challenge.
Did she say the limbic system and prefrontal cortex?
No, it's neither one of those.
Oh, okay.
It's a mid something.
Understood.
Mid C something.
I got you.
Part of the brain, but it actually needs discomfort and challenge to be able to grow. Mm. And so people that don't put themselves in uncomfortable situations do not grow. In the same way Their minds don't grow. Mm-hmm. Think about that. If you're never uncomfortable, you'll never grow. Growth and discomfort go hand in hand. You need both.
Mid-cingulate? Hey, shout out Google.
That's what it is. That's the part of your brain, the mid-cingulate. That's the part of the brain that takes discomfort and grows as a result.
Physically growing.
Physically, like, the brain is like, ah, you've given us something that is difficult.
Yeah.
You've given us something that is hard. Here's the reward. Mm-hmm. We will grow. We will adapt.
Wow.
We will learn.
Yeah.
We will change. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we can, cause that's where your resilience is born.
Wow.
It's out of those moments.
It physically grows, but it affects you emotionally.
That's right.
And mentally.
Mm-hmm.
The things you can't see. Mm-hmm. That's what's weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's so odd.
That's why our dwellers have so many growth spurts every time they're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Like the basement breeds that level of growth. Why? Because we're always asking you to do something that's uncomfortable. We're going to always ask you to be honest, open, and transparent. We're going to always ask you to step into discomfort. We're going to always push you a little bit more. When we did the pod in Grand Prairie, mm-hmm, for the book tour, and the young lady got up and was like, what do you do when, like, you're satisfied with what God's doing, but you feel like some of your prayers ain't answered? And I pushed her, mm-hmm, until she said, I hate that I'm not married. You know what I mean? I hate that I'm alone. Like, I want to be married. Booyah. She grew.
That was it.
In front of a bunch of strangers, she gave us the gift of her vulnerability as opposed to just giving us the gift of her translucency. Mm-hmm. She was talking vague, and when something's translucent, like a frosted glass door, you can see the silhouette of it, but you can't make it out. You don't know what that is. You know what I mean? It could be a human. It could be a freaking broom with a coat on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't know what that is. So, let's remember that we grow when we do things that are uncomfortable. We grow when we do things that bring us discomfort. We grow when we are in a season that is unfamiliar to us. We grow when we are fearful about something and we do it anyway. We grow when we have the courageous conversation with somebody, not knowing if they're going to accept what we've shared or reject it. We grow when we have to stretch ourselves beyond our limitations and embrace new paradigms of thought, even though it's completely different from anything that I've ever heard. Like, all of that is growth worthy. And if you're not doing that, you're not growing. So show me somebody who refuses to grow, and I'll show you somebody that avoids discomfort. Mm. Bottom line.
Bottom line.
Bottom line.
We got Taylor who wants to grow, though.
Mm.
Tay-Tay.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Uncle Tim. So I'm trying to hold the tension right now between, like, accepting that I have some negative characteristics from my dad who has narcissistic traits, and the way that his traits have negatively impacted my romantic relationships in the past. I want to ask, like, how can I, you know, not take on so much shame, knowing that I could have been better, and accepting that the relationship's over. Like, I can't do anything to fix it or make it better for that person. I just kind of have to, like, you know, move on now and let go. But, like, how is my question? I don't know if that really makes sense, but I thank you and I love you. You're amazing.
I love you too, Taylor. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful you asked this question. So first of all, kudos to you for the self-awareness, mm-hmm. right? The self-awareness to know, first of all, what you've picked up from your father. Also the self-awareness to know what he's actually contributed to that you picked up on. And you're seeing him for who he really is, right? You're not putting the but with your dad. You're putting the and, right? Hey, my dad's really good. And he's maybe really good in some areas. And he has some narcissistic traits and behaviors that I've picked up on. Well, first of all, I just want to celebrate the self-awareness because a lot of people wouldn't be able to pinpoint that. Or they would just say, my dad is like this and therefore I've been like that, right? But you notice where you picked it up from. All right, now you realize how that behavior compromised the relationship you were in, and the relationship's over and the relationship ain't coming back. Woohoo! Now you're trying to figure out, what do I do with the result of my findings? Well, first of all, you grieve what you lost. And you accept that it is over. Let me tell you something. There is so much to be said about a person that can own the fact that they messed up a relationship, that they contributed to the demise of a relationship. Bless you.
Thank you.
And they can go, you know what? I own this part of it. I realize that this was probably what made this person walk out of this relationship. And whether it's a dating relationship or a marriage, right, or a friendship, when you can own your role and then accept that one's over, I ain't gonna get that one back. Mm-hmm. Dang. Oh, I wish I would have known then what I know now. We could have changed some stuff. But you know what? It ain't going to happen again. Ooh, I am so much more well-equipped going into the next relationship based on what I know now. Listen, this is why you got to properly grieve so you can properly leave. All right, so Taylor, I'm going to just make up some names, right? So let's just say you was dating Derek, okay? So, no, we got a Derek here. Let's say you were dating Robert. Okay, so you're dating Robert. You were dating Robert and you royally messed it up, right? And you recognize that. But you really liked Robert and you wish Robert would give you another chance. But Robert has made it very, very clear. In no uncertain terms, he ain't messing with you no more. Like, he bumped that. I'm done. Deuces. I'm out. All right, go grieve Robert. Grieve him thoroughly. Grieve him completely. Your body's going to integrate that. And you are going to be like, you're going to accept, this is the role I contributed to the demise of this relationship. I fully own and take responsibility for my actions in that and the fact that Robert left. Boom. Now, write an obituary to Robert. Mm. Whether it's mentally or physically, herein lies Robert. Dated him for 9 months. It was beautiful, but it's over. And this is not coming back. Relationship is dead, all right? Let a balloon go if you need to. Play your favorite song. I don't know. Drink a shot. A shot. Not like 14 of them, okay? Have a shot. And then let it be over, right? So now it's over. Boom. Deuces. And now you get to go on and you get to go, you know what? I'm going to be a gift to somebody. Next relationship, I'm going to be a hell of a gift to somebody. Why? I learned from Robert. I learned from my relationship with Robert, this will kill a relationship.
Yeah.
I learned that this type of behavior that I picked up from my father will not be conducive in a relationship. I tried it. It did not work. I will not make that mistake again. You move on and you give the next person a gift. Like, the reason why I think this is a cheat code for you is because, do you know how many people are given their next partner in a relationship a bomb? They're giving them an explosive device because they did not metabolize and learn from the previous relationship. So they about to bring all that trauma and all that pain into the next relationship. And guess what? It's about to blow up. So you get to give your next a gift. Yeah. Because of what you processed with your ex. So glean from that, learn from that, steward that, and then make your next the best because of what you learned from your ex.
Hey.
I hope that helps. I really do. I hope it helps. That's good.
That was fire.
Mm-hmm.
You ended it fire.
Well, thank you.
What is that called in rap? Is that like a tag? Is that like a, is there a word when you rhyme it all together and piece it and you, that little chef's kiss?
It's just a, I mean, I
get, a rhyme.
We just call it a bar.
A bar for Christ?
Yeah, it's a bar.
All right, brother.
For sure.
SB.
Hi there. I guess a question that I could have is, how do you know if there's something in your life that maybe God was doing, but maybe you let anxiety or scared thoughts or intruding thoughts take over too much and it got messed up and you missed it, maybe, and maybe from disobedience of some kind in the middle of that, maybe you missed it. How do you know? And then how do you, you know, get past it or grieve it and move on? Or I guess even accept if maybe you missed it, or accept that maybe you were wrong in that thing, that maybe it wasn't God. Sorry if that's a little vague or confusing or if I'm a little low. Thanks. Bye.
I love you, SB. All right. So I got a real strong image as you were talking. And I saw you at a, I saw you in a, the batter's box. I don't even know if you understand baseball or follow it, but you're in the batter's box and these pitches are being thrown at you. And some of them you're not even swinging at. You're just watching them go by. And then a few more pitches go by and you're swinging at those and you ain't even connecting. And the thought that you're having is what you just asked me. How do I know that I'm not letting anxiety get in the way? Yeah. Well, you ain't swinging. You're not swinging at no pitches. How do I know if I messed it up? Maybe you swung and you missed. What is my encouragement to you? Once you find out, because I'm not here, I'm not really interested in answering the question that you asked. I'm here to encourage you to get back in the batter's box,
yeah,
and swing at a pitch. Oh, it's a fastball, it's a curveball. I don't even know how to, I can't even time it. Just swing. You know that there's baseball players in the Hall of Fame that connect with the pitches that have been thrown at them throughout their whole career less than 30% of the time? There's people in Cooperstown who have connected with all the pitches ever thrown to them less than 30% of the time. I'm not asking you to hit a home run, SB. I'm just asking you to get on base. Homie, you got to swing at something. You just got to swing at something. And you cannot be afraid to fail. Again, I'm not answering the question that you asked, but I actually do not feel like that's the question, or that I actually don't feel like that's the question that needs to be addressed. I feel like what needs to be addressed is the anxiety that you feel and the paralyzation it's caused. You're just watching too much stuff go by, boo. And I don't need you to watch this stuff go by anymore. I need you to swing. That's good. I need you to swing. You are going to connect with something. But you cannot be afraid for the rest of your life to make a move because you're afraid of failing. You might fail, but you better try. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even sure if you're going to appreciate that answer. I'm really not. I'm not sure if you're going to appreciate it or not. But I'm telling you, my sense is you've been paralyzed by some fear, and it's made you not move at stuff that you needed to. God didn't even need you to do much. He just needs you to step into it. But here's the thing I need you to understand. Let's say you struck out. I don't want you to think that striking out means that you're never going to be back in the batter's box. So let's say you did miss it. Let's say you missed God. Let's say you totally missed God, which theologically I don't even think you can actually do, because like he already knows you're going to miss him and he's going to throw you another pitch. But whatever. Let's say you completely missed God. Guess what? In a few weeks or a few months, another opportunity is going to come. And I just need you to get back in the batter's box and swing at the pitch. Just swing. I don't care if you guys just, you see the ball come, you just close your eyes. You don't even know if you're going to hit it or not. Just swing. But God is not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Don't forget that.
You have any stories like that where you were in that position where you were swinging, trying to make something happen, and it felt like you were catching some misses? What was that like?
Yeah, it's like I've always been the type of person that if I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do, I'm just going to try it. Mm-hmm. The worst thing that can happen is that it doesn't go nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, bro, if I told you all the stuff I did in my 20s, I did stuff that other people dream about doing. Mm. So long before American Idol, long before The Voice, I grew up watching Showtime at the Apollo. Showtime at the Apollo went on tour. They came to Fort Worth. I was rapping and doing stand-up at the time. I stood outside for an open audition to the Showtime at the Apollo. When they came to Fort Worth, the contestants, whoever they picked, were going to perform at the Bass Hall. And whoever won from there got to go back to New York. They came to Fort Worth. They had open auditions. I stood in line for 7 hours on a cold either January or February day, which is dead winter, in Dallas, Fort Worth.
Slicing your skin.
Bro, I was so stinking cold. My fingers were numb. The line just... And they got through everybody. I give them credit. They got through everybody. I went in to do a 2-minute stand-up routine. I was so cold and so pissed by the time I got in that I decided to do a freestyle because I didn't even care if I got accepted or not anymore. So I gave them the CD. It had the instrumental to Grinding by The Clips. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. Grinding. Boom, boom, boom. It was that beat. If you don't know nothing about that beat, go find that beat. That beat is fire. They were like, what you going to do? I was like, I'm about to freestyle. They were like, have you already given the... Absolutely. Track number 4. Boom, boom, boom. And I did a whole freestyle about how I stood in this line for 7 hours and it was so cold I couldn't feel my fingers and y'all been in here warm and toasty, but we out there freezing our butt off and blah, 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 blah. And the judges were laughing and da, 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 da. And I didn't even care. I was actually venting. I actually didn't care. And I just thought I was going to do this rhyme and then be like, oh, well, thanks, guy. I appreciate you coming. Judges looked at each other. They were like, you're going to perform at the Bass Hall. You're one of our finalists. Congratulations. I performed at the Bass Hall in Fort Worth to that same Clips instrumental, because whatever you came in with is what you got to do now, and I did not get booed off stage. I came out, that beat dropped, I started rapping, some people in the balcony started booing. I actually addressed them booing during the freestyle, and the crowd went crazy. I lost to a dude that played the trumpet. What kind of open audition? What kind of talent search is this? Where an MC loses to a guy. That's Showtime at the Apollo. You a beautiful vocalist could lose to a juggler. It just depends on the night.
Yep.
Right? But yo, I got that memory. I have that experience.
Yep.
It didn't turn into a record deal. Thank God. I could have got signed by Diddy.
Oh my God.
That could have been devastating.
Come on, tell us what you're thinking about Diddy, brother.
I'm not telling you where. Oh, I can tell you something about Diddy.
Yeah.
I had a battle rapping and I did come out with an album and I did a bunch of mixtapes. I can say her first name, I won't say her last name. Sherelle was my manager. She knew Diddy. She had a plug to Diddy. She went to New York, played my demo for Diddy. This is Right Hand of God. Diddy's exact words were, "We don't need a good boy on Bad Boy." Those were exact words. That was the feedback. She came back and told me. She was like, "I let him hear it." I'm like, "What did he say?" "We don't need a good boy on Bad Boy." God blocked it. He wouldn't let it be so. Ooh, God blocked it.
What a blessing to not be a bad boy.
Hey. That boy said, "We don't need a good boy on Bad Boy." That's what he said. And guess what? That was the end of that.
And he was a bad boy.
He is a bad boy.
Whoa. Two record labels that were like self-fulfilling prophecies. Death Row Records
and Bad Boy.
And Bad Boy.
They actually told you in the name.
That's crazy, bro.
This is exactly who we are.
Wow.
Right? Somebody on Death Row Records died. And the bad boy of Bad Boy Records is a bad boy.
And we'll leave it at that.
And might go to prison. He might go to prison.
Yeah.
He might go to prison. Yeah. Right? So, but I have all these experiences because I swung at pitches, fam. Mm-hmm. I swung at pitches. I didn't know if rapping was going to pop off. I didn't know if stand-up was going to pop off. I didn't know if preaching was going to pop off.
Yep.
I didn't know what was about to pop off. I didn't know if I was supposed to be in corporate America. So guess what? I swung at everything. I connected with ministry. That's what God confirmed.
Yep.
That's where I went. But I got all these experiences growing up because I just wasn't afraid to swing at a pitch. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that, man. They got an open mic tonight. Oh. I did. I was the freestyle battle champion on 97.9 The Beat for 45 days straight. Head Crack Super K keynote back then. Ask Crack about me. Head Crack will tell you to this day. Oh, yeah. I know Anonymous. I went by Anonymous Who back then. That was my rap name because I didn't want nobody to know who I was. I did 45 days straight. They invited me to Caribbean Grill. Caribbean Grill was off Webb Chapel and 635. And it was like a Caribbean, it was called Caribbean Grill. It was an island restaurant by day, and they turned it into a club at night. They had a thing on Monday nights called Monday Night Fights. They said, "Hey, yo, I want you to come to the thing and put your name in the hat." It was 8 Mile style battle rapping, right? And I went. The first night I signed up, I won. Just swinging at pitches. I didn't get signed to a record deal, but I wound up getting favored with Head Crack Super K Keynote, Head Crack Super Key or Super K and Keynote and Keynote. I can't. Head Crack Super K and Keynote, I think the third guy's name was. But they invited me to all the radio events that they had, Super Bowl parties, all that kind of stuff. God gave me favor with those guys.
Yeah.
And then God gave me favor with like the Dallas MC community, the rhymers that was in DFW. I got in good with those guys.
Wow.
But I'm just swinging at pitches. Why? Because I'm trying everything. I don't know what's about to pop off. I worked a whole bunch of jobs. I worked at CarMax, the auto superstore. I worked for this company called Walk the Talk. I worked for Nissan Motor Acceptance Corporation. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to figure it out. You got to do something.
We're only here off of a pitch.
We're only here off of a pitch,
Derek,
fam.
Derek moderated for like a whole year straight. That's voluntarily.
That's what I'm talking
about. I gave, I told JB, I'll help you produce that pod for free.
That's exactly right.
And now here we are.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So, to SB's point though, what happens if you miss? You're going to get another pitch. Swing at it.
Swing.
Let's say you was too afraid to do this. Okay, cool. But remember, God opened doors and he shuts doors. Mm-hmm. And don't be mad when he shuts them. I'm not mad he shut the door to Bad Boy. Imagine that. Imagine that. I may not be here right now.
You would have been in Miami.
I don't want to be.
Hey, y'all. This is Makaya. I'm just asking a question for another young adult in the group chat. His name is Tyree. And he said he doesn't.
Reason for this is Tyree said, I can't talk. I can't send a voice note right now. So she's just being a real one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Didn't have much of a voice today. And his question was, how do I navigate and get closer to God while in college? It seems that there's so many hurdles socially and emotionally, and also dealing with how my past has affected me. How do I exist in spaces where I've been planted and I don't feel like I belong? Context, I'm 19. I go to a college in a secular space, and I'm dealing with a lot of mental health struggles like complex PTSD and depression and anxiety. Thanks.
So, Makaya, on behalf of Tyree.
Makaya, on behalf of Tyree.
So, Makaya, I love you, and you're a real one. Thank you for getting Tyree's question to us. Tyree, I love you. Super proud of you and what you're doing. Man, you're 19. You're in college. You're dealing with some PTSD, and you're in these social settings. Man, I think you need a very small group to rock with right now. I would not even complicate your situation. A lot of times we be telling people to be brave in environments that actually harm them more, because we be trying to get them to prove a point. What point we got to prove? Bro, you're 19, you got PTSD, you're in a situation where you're on a college campus. It's already a different environment. It's already unfamiliar. Your brain's already growing in that, right? You're already in an uncomfortable situation. You're already experiencing unfamiliarity. You're already in a new space and trying to connect. Man, like, you need a small group. You need two or three real ones that can anchor you and hold you down, keep you accountable. You don't need to be trying to be out there and like acclimating to this whole nother world. Like, first of all, you there for school. You ain't there for the social life. And if there's already some mental health issues that are exasperating that, bro, pick you two to three real ones and just rock with them.
That's all you need.
But be very, very hot with them. Be honest, open, and transparent with them to let them know, hey, listen, here's what I'm struggling with. Here's what I'm dealing with. You have already proven yourself to be trustworthy. Would you be against me leaning on you a little bit heavier while I'm in this season in school? Until I can stabilize and really adjust to this environment, I just need two or three people I can pray with, two or three people I can talk to. I promise I won't be no bugaboo, but when I need to check in, pick up the phone. When I need to check in, make sure you text back. I need a support system right now that's going to help me get through what I'm going through right now. Bro, you do not need to be a hero. Mm-mm. But this is something that you just need to navigate. This is a season that you need to navigate. You're a young man. You're brilliant. You got ideas and dreams and goals, and I believe they're going to all be met. But you don't need to make this challenge any more difficult Mm-mm. than it already is. Mm. So I hope that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
19 trying to get these cheat codes, bro.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
That's the best.
That's the best, man. I mean, come on. What are we even talking about?
That's all the questions from our young adult dwellers. Yeah.
That's Gucci.
That's Gucci.
That's Gucci, man. No, I appreciate y'all reaching out and to process, because That's all we're trying to do. We're trying to give you the cheat codes. We want these cheat codes to be something that that benefits you. That's the only reason why we're doing this. Listen, we could be doing a whole bunch of other stuff. We want to do this. Mm-hmm. We want this to continue to be a safe space where you grow.
Yeah.
So that's why we're doing it. We could be doing some other stuff. We could be doing some other stuff. Ain't nothing else better we want to do, though. If we give you safety and we give you stability and these are the kind of questions you're going to ask, bruh, I'm going to be here for years. Doing this, I'm going to be here for years. Community ain't even got to grow no more. I will rock out with y'all for years. From your single, I expect Tyree to hit me back. He 19. I expect the homie to hit me back at 26. Graduated from college. Thank you, Uncle Tim. Some of that anxiety is going away. Got a fiance now. I want to make sure that I remain pure. Yeah. And then you hit me up with those, right? And then boom, 27. Homie is married. I'm getting the jitters about starting a family and blah 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 blah. Boom, 32. Still Tyree. We've been rocking since he was 19. Homie's 32 now. Listen, after working at this job for 6 or 7 years, we decided to branch out and start our own company. My wife and I are really dialed in, but we feel like we're no longer growing at the church that we were a part of, that community. And how do we grow this business while trying to find our new church home? Let's just go through life. That's all we're trying to do. Let's just do life together. That's what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. I love to hear a story. This is why most of the, shout out to all the Brick House OGs from the young adult ministry at PH. I still rock with them. When they show up to certain things, when I see them in the chat, I could just recognize a name, see a little bit of a face on a profile pic. I'm like, yo, I remember you. Like when you when we were in Grand Prairie, Justin and Maria came to that pod and then stood in line to get their book signed. I remember I was counseling Maria before she met Justin. Wow. I remember when they started dating. I did their premarital. And they still married. This is how you want to walk through life with people. That it could be 15, 16 years later and it's they still together.
It's awesome.
Yo, I salute. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we just going to walk through life. That's what the basement is here for. We have, the ground ain't shaking here. This is I ain't got nothing better to do than what I'm called to do. And I pray everybody feels that way when they step into the calling that God has for their life. You don't want nothing better than what you called to do. It fulfills you in a way that nothing else will. So, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's dope.
Yeah.
Solo pod?
Solo dolo. Hey, listen, I love y'all. This is short and sweet, obviously, because I just had 8 hours of...
Amen.
The group therapy, but here's gonna be my challenge to you. Maybe on these solo dolos, I'm gonna start leaving the people with a challenge. I want you to find one way you can be uncomfortable this week. And then make sure you tell us what that one thing is and how you navigated through that, and then jump in that Discord chat.
Fire.
Let us know what it was. But from this pod, I want you, my challenge to you is to find one way you can be uncomfortable this week that would cause you to grow in a way that you would not grow if you were comfortable. And I'm telling you, this could be very, very practical. It could be reading a book by somebody you don't disagree with. It could be listening to a message by somebody that you don't like. It could be having a conversation that you've been avoiding. It could be doing 100 sit-ups instead of 30. Like, just push yourself past your limit. See what it does for you. It could be taking a cold plunge. It could be taking a cold shower. Just jump in a, just turn the cold water on and jump in the shower and take a cold shower instead of, don't turn your hot water on. The thought of that could make you cringe. Just do something that makes you uncomfortable. You need to know what it feels like to do something that you wouldn't normally do. Or to do something that you think you cannot do. It will grow you in a way that your normal routine will never grow you.
Replace your vice this week. Whatever that vice is.
Just saying, switch it up. That's my challenge switch to you. And if you are not against taking that challenge, we want to hear from you in Discord. We want to know what you did and how you did it. Share it with the other dwellers in the community. I think it'll be fire to know how we're stretching ourselves to do what we would normally not do. So that's it. That's all I got. Gucci. Yeah. Hey, I love you guys. And until next time, peace.
Yeah, so press B with me and let's let whatever gon' be just be. Yeah, so press B with me and let's let whatever gon' be just be.